Good morning, everybody. This is Dr. Ben Edwards with You're the Cure. Super excited to bring you another episode today of our show, trying to educate you and enlighten you and bring you a different perspective than what the world brings you in regards to your health. We have a special guest today that I'll introduce in just a minute. But today's topic in general is going to be the peace pillar. And I get asked all the time, tell me more about this peace pillar, because in so many people's mind, when I say peace, they think of either happiness or they think of stress management. Let me go do some deep breathing exercises or sing Kumbaya or do something, you know, to relieve my stress. And those are okay, but those are Band-Aids. So we're talking about true peace, the kind of peace that you can have even despite your circumstances, despite the world kind of falling apart around you, you can still be at peace. Which is really more of a spiritual question than anything. So that's going to be our topic today, and I hope you can glean some things from this that are beneficial. I wanted to start, before I introduce our guest, with just a kind of a thought that I've had this morning, that things are just off. Well, before I get to that, I do want to reiterate for new listeners that the four pillars of nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace, in my estimation, peace is the most important of all four. It really probably is three pillars with the foundation of peace that the other three pillars sit on. You can't eat, exercise, and hydrate your way to health, true health, because the body's physiology, our biochemistry and physiology was not designed to function long-term in chronic fight or flight mode, in chronic stress mode. That's incompatible with health. We cannot be in chronic stress and chronic fight or flight. And what Dr. Bruce Lipton showed clearly in his experiments was that it's not your circumstances alone that create chronic fight or flight. It's your interpretation of those circumstances. So really it boils down to your belief system that you have. So I want to say that right off the bat. But as I was thinking this morning about our world and how things just seem to be off, just in general, everywhere you look, things are off, especially with the COVID-19 shutdown. I think that really highlighted just how fragile and really ineffective so many of our systems in the world really are, from the medical system to the economic system, the education system, the food system. All these systems were negatively impacted in a great, great way. It just seems like every system of the world's not functioning like it should. Things just seem to be off. And then on top of that, it seems like daily I'm seeing a headline highlighting some, what I call man's wisdom, some decision that mankind has made that has led to some negative unintended consequence. A recent show we just did with Paul Connett on fluoride, how this neurotoxic fluoride that's been in our water for so long has depressed the IQs of all these babies that have been fed formula with tap water that had fluoride in it. Years and years and hundreds of studies that prove this, and it took a recent court case to get the EPA to finally, the court hasn't officially ruled, but they're set to rule. To finally reverse this decision to put fluoride in our water. That was just one example on a recent show. We talk about agricultural stuff all the time on the show because there's such a link between medical and ag. And just this week, there's an article I saw on Monsanto agreeing to pay $10.9 billion with a B in a settlement for patients with cancer secondary to Roundup. That's not even considering all the other health consequences of that herbicide. And then the very next email I look at was a request for me to write a letter to the petition to FDA to not approve a new type of GMO corn seed. And this GMO was not just Roundup Ready corn. It was a 5 pesticide resistant corn. So this GMO corn that they're petitioning to be into the market now can be sprayed with the pesticides dicamba, 2,4-D, glufosinate, quizaloft, and glyphosate. 5 different chemicals is what this new GMO seed is. And then the next email right after that, I'm not kidding you, was this headline that GMO mosquitoes are being released in Florida. It's just unbelievable that we don't learn our lessons from the past when we try to manipulate God's creation and the negative impacts and unintended consequences. And I'm not going to rehash all those topics. or rehash all the medical topics too, but I think it's, I'll just leave it at, it's obvious our medical system in America, with man's wisdom, has produced the worst health outcomes. We have, we die the youngest, we are sicker in between, more of our babies die, our infant mortality rate is the highest, our maternal mortality rate is the highest of industrialized countries. We are the sickest, suffer the most, and die the youngest, have the most chronic diseases, even children, 54% of children in America have a chronic disease now, all while spending the most money because of man's wisdom. And again, I'm not going to go on and on into all these things, but my point is, when you just really step back and look at all this, it kind of leaves you just scratching your head and thinking, man, something's off. And from my perspective, it seems like, it doesn't seem like, I know we should have consulted the owner's manual a little more or a lot more on how to manage this amazing creation. And that owner's manual I'm talking about is one book called the Bible. But the, I want to remind listeners, I think I've said this before, that book is actually a collection of 66 different books written by 40 different authors over 1,500 years in three different languages, covering three different continents. And it all comes together to tell one amazing, continuous, non-contradictory story. This story that's been confirmed, confirmed by eyewitnesses, confirmed by tens of thousands of archaeological digs, confirmed by other ancient non-biblical texts, confirmed by predictive prophecies. Professor Stoner out in California did a calculation. He's a mathematician. And out of the 456 prophecies in the Old Testament, you know, written 500 years before these things were fulfilled, he did a mathematical analysis. If just 10 of these 456 prophecies could randomly come true in some man's life 500 years later, and the equation ended up being 10 to the 28th power. That was the odds of this book being written 500 years earlier, predicting with these prophecies. It's just incredible. Any way you look at this book, it's an amazing book. And it is the owner's manual. It tells us how we need to manage, should be managing this creation. So that's why I rely on it and turn to it. That's one of the reasons I rely on it and turn to it. So today's discussion, we're going to dive deeper into that. And I want to say that when I start having these discussions with patients, usually I get one of two responses. One response will be just total tune out. I'm not going to talk about the Bible, spiritual stuff, God, because I've been hurt. Religion is hurt, and typically it's a religion thing, hypocrisy or trauma or something in the religious system, so they just want to tune it out. Or the second answer I'll get is someone who goes to church every Sunday and checks that box off and says, hey, I'm good, doc. I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. I'm good, and I'm going to church. Those are usually the two answers. Both those answers leave, in my opinion, leave us vulnerable to deceptions and lies in our belief system that could drive that fight or flight. You know, the goggles we talk about when we interpret our circumstances, these quote unquote bad things come into our life and we're looking at life through these goggles. Well, those goggles can be the goggle of truth, God's perspective, or the goggles of a lie. And if we're obviously rejecting the book of truth or just going to church every Sunday, we're still susceptible and at risk for believing some lies. So that's a little just opinion and statement from me. I'm really, you know, enough about me or my opinion on things. I've asked Abraham John, our guest today, to come onto the show to discuss these matters, and hopefully we'll have some future shows too, because this is a big topic. Obviously, you can't get it all in an hour, but to at least give some perspective, because when I first was introduced to Abraham and his books and his videos, and I started to dive into those, it just resonated with my spirit as, man, this is a level of truth that I know most of my patients are lacking. Standard church and religion doesn't go this deep. And I personally needed to mature in many areas of my spiritual walk, and so much of what Abraham teaches and writes about in his books have been so beneficial for me and my family, and felt like it'd be super beneficial for the listeners today. So hopefully y'all will get something great out of this discussion today. So Abraham John, welcome to our show today. Thank you for, I know you're a busy man. Thank you for carving out some time for us today.
Thank you, Dr. Ben. I'm so blessed and honored and privileged to be with you on the show. And I thank God for what He's doing through you and through the calling that He has placed upon your life, which is very unique and very critical for such a time as this in the world of healthcare. So I thank God for you and for what you're doing. And thank you for having me on the show. So I'm so blessed to be here with you.
Well, we're honored to have you. I'd like to give you an opportunity, with all my guests, I always ask them to share as much or as little as they'd like, about kind of their personal journey or story of how they got from where they were to where they are now, and with what
Okay.
you're doing in the world. Could you kind of get the listener up to speed as much as you
I
care to
will.
share?
I will. I grew up in church, like people say here. Many times I meet people, hey, I grew up in church. I went to church 4 times a week. So that's the way I grew up in. But my mother became very ill in early years of her life, maybe in the early 40s. Then she passed away when she was 51. And that was a very shock to me. Then, when I became a teenager, I didn't know my purpose. I thought I was here in this world, go to school, then get a job, try to make a living, then hang on until Jesus comes back, until the rapture happens or die, then when you go to heaven. So, when I was a teenager, I became so depressed because I was not good in sports. I was not good in music, so I thought, oh my goodness, maybe my life is a mistake and there's no reason for me to hear, because when I went to church, I never heard anything about purpose or why God put us here. The only thing I heard was God put us here to worship, and worship meant singing. So I was not good in singing either, so that made me more depressed because so I
I
thought
wasn't
there's
good at
no.
singing either. I had to stay after at choir practice at church, and it was very embarrassing for me.
If I start singing, the angels will stop in heaven and look back. Who's that
Tell him to pipe down.
So that brought more depression into my life. And one day I cried out to God. Oh my goodness. I cried. That's when Holy Spirit told me, Dr. Ben, he said, if you want to know your purpose, go and read the book of Genesis, the book of the beginnings, how and why God began this life on the earth and he created this planet. And I tried to argue with him, because I grew up in church. I heard the Genesis story from when I was 3 years old. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve story. I said, Lord, I know all those things, the snake, the fruit, and he kind of rebuked me. No, go back and read it again. So in obedience, I went back to Genesis. That's when my journey began. I read it, chapter 1 and 2, how and why God created mankind. And I couldn't find a single thing about worship or singing or nothing in those 2 chapters. And I was like, oh my goodness, what was I taught? A lie about why God put me on this planet Earth? What I heard in church, what God said in His Word didn't match. I thought I was believing God's Word, but most of the time, people don't check and go back to the Word to see if it is there what they have been taught. That's the number one problem in our church world today, because people think they know the truth, but if you really check it, and some of those truths that we believe, we will believe it is the lie of the devil. Just like, when the devil speaks, when the snake speaks, he quotes scriptures, but it's not the whole truth. And that's when my transformation, my deliverance, and my liberation from religion began, Dr. Ben. So it's been a long journey. It's been 25 years. Like you were saying now, this world that we live in, we have the best convenience, luxuries, Anything we can think of, anything will be delivered to our door by one click. And but we have more disease and we have more people living without peace. There's more problems in the world today, not because we don't have enough churches. We have more churches than any other time in the history of this world. There are more believers on this planet Earth today. There are more preachers, but something is missing. Like you said, the peace. What is missing is what God's kingdom and purpose. People don't know why they are here, why God put us on this planet Earth. That's what I would like to talk about a little bit with you on the show today.
Yes, and that's what I'd like to dive into, because when I really start to go down this road with patients, it turns out almost always they don't know their true calling and purpose. They're just working some job that they're in. I mean, maybe they like it, maybe they don't, but it tends to be stressful, but they can't leave it because it has good health insurance, and just this whole conundrum of they aren't really fulfilling their purpose. They're just working to make a living to support the family, basically, and they're not fulfilling their destiny, and they've never even really thought about it. I'll sometimes ask patients, okay, pretend you had all the money you needed. Your bank account was so full. You won the lottery. You'll never need money the rest of your life. So you don't have to make decisions based off money. What would you wake up and do? What would, you know, after you took a little vacation or went on a cruise or whatever, but when you just got back to normal life, what would you just wake up and do? What's that thing God put in you, the desire of your heart to just do? And people don't even know how to respond to that because they've never thought like that. So I'm very interested in you talking more from that perspective of why we're here. What is our purpose and how do we figure that out?
Yeah, because when there's no purpose, we won't have any peace. Mm-hmm. Because peace, like you were talking about, is the culture of God's kingdom. You know, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit is the culture of God's kingdom. So what is missing on this earth in our world today is not luxury, not money, not sexes, not this, not that, but God's kingdom and purpose. So what the Holy Spirit began to teach me is God's eternal purpose and plan for earth and mankind. See, God is very simple, but he's very deep. Every time he creates something, he defines his purpose. When he created the sun, he put it on the sky and said, let it rule the day. That is the purpose of the sun. When he created the birds, he said, let them fly in the air. That is the purpose of the bird, to fly. When he created the fish, let them be in the water. That is the purpose of the fish, to be in the water, to swim. Then when he created mankind, he defined our purpose very well and clear. But we missed it because we have been deceived by the religious spirit and the lying demons who came and informed us something's not in his word. So Genesis 1:26 is our purpose statement, which goes along with one of God's eternal purpose, which is God is a king, he has a kingdom, and he wants to see it established on the earth. That is his eternal purpose for the earth. So he needed somebody to accomplish that purpose for him, because he's in heaven. Earth is a physical planet. So when he created the earth to be an extension of God's kingdom, that's what Jesus told us to pray, let your kingdom come. He didn't say, pray to get us all out of here. No, he wants to see his kingdom come, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So to realize that plan, he created a species called a human. And he created us in his image and likeness. Then he said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That is the purpose statement of mankind given by God Almighty. In the first chapter itself, God made it very clear how and why he's creating us. And we missed it. We thought it is an Old Testament story or a Genesis creation story that we teach in Sunday school, and we didn't take it seriously. We think time has changed. Adam fell, Jesus came, and church came, and we are just going to go to heaven now. Don't worry about Genesis because it is old-time story. No, that is God's original plan for mankind, and that is God's original blueprint. Genesis 1 and 2 is God's original blueprint for mankind. And when we deviate from that original blueprint, life will not work. Doesn't matter how much money we make, what kind of type and size of house we live, what expensive car we drive, what kind of job and position you have. When we don't follow God's original blueprint, life will not work. And that's what we are witnessing in our nation today and around the world. Because we don't follow the blueprint. Anything that we build has to have a blueprint. And if there's no blueprint, at the end, we will look at it, oh my goodness, this is not what I wanted. And that's what happens to many people at the end of their life. And they say, this is not what I wanted in life. This is not what I expected, because they did not follow the blueprint. And that's what we want to introduce to people today, God's original blueprint for life.
Amen.
Through this podcast today. And that Genesis 1:26 is the purpose statement from God to mankind. And that is the first mandate he gave to us. Let them have dominion. What is that word dominion? It's a compound Hebrew word. The simple definition of that word is delegated authority or the right to rule. God created mankind to rule this planet. And until today, mankind is ruling this planet. Birds are still flying. Everything God created in Genesis is still doing what God told them to do. The fish is still in the water. What if a fish decide, hey, I don't want to live in this water anymore. I want to get out of this water and climb a tree. What would happen to that fish? It will die. It will be eaten by some bird or something, because it is leaving its original blueprint. What if the sun decides it's going to go 10,000 miles away from the place God put it, or come closer to the earth? We will burn or we will freeze. If that is the second God's eternal purpose. Everything God has created has a place, has a purpose and a place and a function built in to fulfill that purpose. That is the second God's eternal purpose. Everything God created has a purpose and a place and a function built in. The trees that is growing outside our building that we are sitting right now, they're growing because that is the way God created, and the function was built into the DNA of that tree by God. There's only one group of creatures that is not functioning from the place God created them. That is mankind. Even Jesus told, when he was preaching on Matthew 6, look at the birds. They're not worried about tomorrow. They're not worried about their food. They're not sowing or reaping, because the birds of the air, that's where God put them, in the air. But when you take a bird out of the air and put it in a cage, it will die, or you are responsible to feed that bird. So when God created mankind, he created us with a purpose, and he put us in a particular place. Then he built a particular function in us to fulfill that purpose, but nobody told us about that purpose. That's our problem today. Yeah. We are trying to survive on this planet, you know, trying to find a job, trying to make a living, but nobody's happy. Nobody has peace. And Christians have been waiting for, you know, anything that happens, they have one answer: the end time. Mm-hmm. For 2,000 years, we are just saying the same answer. The end time, brother. This is all the sign of the end time.
Yeah.
That is the most mindless, thoughtless answer that we can give. That means our faith is inadequate, incompetent to come up with any practical solution this world is facing. Jesus said, we are the light of this world. He didn't say, hang on, hang in there until I come back. No. Occupy till I come back. We are the light of this world and salt of the earth. That means if there's any darkness, if there's any problem on this earth, we're supposed to be the solution. So that, yeah, go ahead, Dr. Ben.
That's awesome. That's so enlightening, I think, for people to hear, especially if you're raised like I was in a church where it was the gospel of salvation being preached every Sunday. Get saved. And
yeah,
go get 20 other people saved and just hang on until you get to heaven or rapture comes. But it's such a different and refreshing message because it's a truth and it resonates in our spirits. It's true. But from a, I don't know if it's, if this is a short or long answer, but from a practical perspective, so someone's hearing this for the first time and they go back and read that verse in Genesis, dominion, delegated authority, rule. How do you see that working out in practical day-to-day? Say you have a 20-year-old who's in college and doesn't know what major to pick and doesn't know what to do with their life, or maybe they're out of college and realize the major they did pick isn't fulfilling them and they don't know what their purpose in life is. How do people go about finding their way in the practical realm of doing that?
Two ways. First thing is, this is a revolutionary thing for me. When I was 18, that's when I found out my purpose. When I was 18 years old, I wanted to be an electronic engineer. You know, that's the way I grew up in India. Every family tried to make their children either an engineer or a medical doctor. That is the culture. So I loved electronics. So I thought I will go to school and college and go to electronic engineering. That's the way I'm going to make a living. But when I was 18 years old, something happened to me in a prayer meeting. In that prayer meeting, God began to put a picture in my spirit man about my future. I didn't know what was my future that was different from my idea or my desire to become an electronic engineer. God put a picture in my spirit man. You know, sometimes what we think we should be doing, what we like to do, and what God is planning for our life will be totally different. So when I discovered my purpose, it became my passion to help others to discover their purpose, to help them, because I found out number one problem on this planet Earth is purposelessness. People, they don't know why they're here, why they're rioting, why they're setting fire on other people's properties. They're angry because they don't know why they're here. They're not sure about their identity, where they belong, why they're here. Because there's three fundamental questions every human asks. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? People will not be ready to live their life until they can answer those three questions for sure. The first day, the moment they can answer those three questions is the day that they are ready to live. So when that happened to me when I was 18 years old, it became a passion to help people fulfill or discover their purpose. And I began to come up with ideas, computer software, to help people discover their purpose. Then one day the Holy Spirit came and messed up everything. And he said, Abraham, Dr. Ben doesn't have a purpose. Abraham doesn't have a different purpose. Joe out there doesn't have a different purpose. Or Susie out there doesn't have a purpose. God created mankind with one purpose. Like every bird out there has same purpose, which is to fly. Every fish has the same purpose, which is to swim. There are different kinds and types of birds and fish is there. So God created mankind with the one single purpose. All of us combined has the same purpose, which is to rule this planet. But we don't all rule the same way. We cannot be all become the prime minister or the president of or the mayor or a governor of a country, but we are all created to rule over at least one aspect or area of life. And it begins with our life, ruling our own life. That's where the health comes on. You know, our emotions, our habits, our body, our immediate environment, and that's where the rulership begins in our life. But everybody's created with the same purpose, but we have different calling from God. Like you are called to be in the healthcare system. I am called to be a minister or a preacher or an author. Somebody else called to be a nurse, but not as a profession. You have to make sure what you are called by God to do. Now the question comes, how will you know what you're called to do? Like you're asking, you know, how can we help people? And that is very simple also, because the salvation that we received a very partial understanding of salvation, because salvation came because of the fall of Adam. If Adam did not fall, there wouldn't be any need of salvation. That's when God came up with this plan, even though he knew in eternity man is going to disobey and rebel and sin. He knew it. So he made the way. There was a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, because God knew the choice man was going to make when he was tempted. So where did Adam fall from? What are the things he lost when he fell? To restore that, that's why God came up with this plan called salvation. So when we are saved, we're supposed to go back to where we fell from, or where Adam fell from, and pick back what he left off, where he left off, and continue the same assignment God gave to mankind. So he put that desire in each of our hearts, a picture of our future when we get born again. According to the Bible, in John chapter 3, verse 3 says, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. The first thing that needs to happen to a person when they are born again, or if they are born again, or how do you know if a person is born again, is if they saw the kingdom of God when they were born again. And we thought when you get born again, you will go to heaven. Jesus did not say you will see heaven, or you wait until you die, then you go to heaven. No, Jesus said the moment you're born again, you will see God's kingdom, or you have to see God's kingdom. What does that mean? How does the kingdom look like? See, anytime God calls somebody, he will show them an aspect of God's kingdom that he wants to manifest on the earth. And through you, God is manifesting the kingdom healthcare system to mankind, or to this planet earth. Because when God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, God intended food to be our medicine, mm-hmm. not drugs. Mm-hmm. The food that God created in its original form, that should be our medicine. But we have gone so far away from that kingdom agriculture. We have manipulated, defected, and everything God created, and we messed it up. So how do we know what we are called to do? So we know our purpose now. Every man, every person has the same purpose, but we have different calling. David was called to be a king. Moses was called to be a deliverer. Paul was called to be an apostle, but they all had the same purpose. Esther was called to be a queen in Persia. So God will put a picture of our future when he called the people of Israel out of Egypt, he told them, I'm going to take you to a land that flows with milk and honey. That was their calling. He called them out of Egypt to take them to a land to establish them as a nation. So my question to our listeners is, what is the picture that God, the Holy Spirit, put in your spirit man when you were born again? Are you following that picture, or are you stuck in a survival mode, trying to make a living, doing a job that you don't like? That your heart is crying out, this is not the place you belong. You are created for something different, but you are afraid to step out. Because fear is the number one thing that will stop people from stepping out into their destiny.
Well, I'll interject, but we're going to take a break. I just want to say 100% agree with the fear. The blockage, or the obstacle, the hurdle, the lie that gets put into people's lives, a fear of lack of provision, a fear of protection, this orphan mentality that because they don't know their identity, don't know they have a father that will provide and protect for them, they have to act like an orphan. And when we get back from the break, maybe we'll expound on what are some of the blockages or some of the lies that keep people from being able to see that picture of their place in the kingdom. So everybody stick with us. We're delighted to have Abraham John with us. That's who we've been speaking with. His website is thekingdomnetwork.org. And I encourage everybody to check out that website. Get on there. Tons of resources, tons of great books. So get on thekingdomnetwork.org. Abraham John is our guest today. We'll be right back. Stick with us. This is Ben Edwards, You're the Cure. Okay, we're back. Welcome. Thanks for sticking with us. We're so excited to be talking to Abraham John today. Thekingdomnetwork.org is his website. You'll check it out. He's also got Facebook and other social media. Before the break, we were talking about how everyone has the same purpose, but we have different callings. And when you're born again, you get a picture, a vision of what your particular calling is, what God's called you to do, to occupy your time while you're here on the earth. But we mentioned there could be some blockages or some lies that we may have bought. And looking at my life, I'd say definitely just that religious mindset, religious spirit was a big hindrance. Along with this orphan mentality of I've got to be my own provision. You know, I can't, I have to make my own money. I've got to make decisions based off money instead of decisions based off what I feel like is deep inside me to do. So can you give your thoughts on that, Abraham, on what are some of the things that might keep us from seeing and that vision of our calling?
Yes, because fear of survival. You know, if I do what God called me to do, or many people, they are honest, they want to do what God called them to do, but they're afraid because they think where the money is going to come from, where their provision is going to come from, because they think like that because of the lack of understanding. Because if you listen what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and as a result, all the things that we needed will be added to us. That is the promise. That means seek his kingdom means not going to church on a Sunday morning. That's not what it means. That's what we made it to be. Seek his kingdom means God, seek God's original assignment for mankind. Why he created this planet and why he put us here. Because if he wanted us all in heaven, he would have kept us there. Why would he send us here to suffer for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years? But the truth is, Adam was not created to die. Death came because of sin. So if Adam did not sin, he wouldn't have died. He would be still here on this planet Earth. And that is God's eternal assignment for mankind. Our purpose is connected to planet Earth in this life and in the next. So when God created Adam, how did he find his food? What did he do for to make a living? How did Adam, means God's original plan, like we were sharing before the break, what was God's original design for mankind? So when he created Adam, God knew what are the things this man would need to fulfill his kingdom assignment on the earth. And God himself came down and planted the garden and prepared everything Adam would ever need and put it in that garden. So Adam was not working to make a living. His food, his accommodation, and everything he need was added to him because he was sent here to do a kingdom assignment. So this is the first thing I want our listeners to understand. God sent each individual to this planet Earth to do a kingdom assignment for him. So when we step into that kingdom assignment, God makes a commitment to that individual to provide, to protect, and do everything that person need to fulfill that assignment. It becomes God's responsibility. So we can completely eliminate that fear. Oh my goodness, will I become homeless if I leave my job and do what God called me to do? Will I end up on the street? No. Complete guarantee, because I've been living this since I was 18 years old. It's been more than 25 years because I, by God's grace, I had this revelation when I was very young. That survival, God delivered me from that survival mentality that I have to depend on my ability and strength to make a living to support my life. No, I am sent by God to this planet Earth to do an assignment that he had for me. And God is responsible. He makes a commitment to that individual to protect and to provide everything that person need. That is called kingdom living.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You're fulfilling what God sent you to this planet Earth. What did Jesus do to make a living? What did Moses do to make a living when he was called? Until he was called, they were feeding sheep, like David was feeding the sheep and many others doing some kind of job or a profession. But from the moment they recognized and released into their calling in the kingdom, God's kingdom provision got activated into their life. And that is the secret that I want our listeners to discover through this podcast. And it is still applicable today. And you or somebody else out there can experience the same life that people in the Bible lived.
Yeah. Well, I know in my personal walk, that was a big hurdle to overcome. And I had to learn that God is responsible and obligated to
Yeah.
to meet those needs in the moment that you need him. He will give you exactly what you need in the moment you need it. So that a lot of that's a step of faith. It doesn't mean you're automatically going to win the lottery and have $10,000 cushion in your bank account.
No.
What you needed today might have been just $20.25, and that's exactly what you got that day, but it met your need. And so this need-based understanding is, and that's hard to do when you're addicted to the provision, being self-provision and self-protection, that orphan mentality, survival mentality. It's a big one. It's a big hurdle to overcome. But it, in agreement with you, God has met all of the needs since I was called out of my former, of my own thinking of just being a regular doctor like my granddad's in a small town country doctor, wanted to live my dream, and God called me out of that and into this whole different arena that I didn't even know existed. but he's provided every step of the way to be able to allow me to be who I need to be as a father and a husband, but also as the leader of Veritas. I can testify to that.
Wow.
Abraham, will you, unless you had something to add on to that, I wanted to get your thoughts on, speak to the listeners. I mean, we're in the Bible Belt here. We're in probably the buckle of the Bible Belt. I would say 99% of our patients are professing Christian believers, although we see people that have no faith or different faiths. Of course, we'll see anybody, all comers, and we love them, love everyone equally and treat everyone equally. But just the reality of where we're geographically located, and our philosophy tends to attract folks that would classify themselves as believers, as Christians, and I'd say mostly churchgoers. But can you speak to that a little bit, just the word church and the potential hurdles or obstacles in from a mindset standpoint and trying to seek first the kingdom and trying to get that kingdom vision and calling and all that? How does religion and church come into play there?
Yeah, so the church that we see today didn't exist in the Bible. The church that we see around us today has been hijacked by the religious spirit. And I have no apology for saying that, because I grew up in that system. You know, we go to church. Nobody said in the New Testament they went to church. They didn't use that term at all. They were the church. So when I read the Gospels, I encourage my listeners to read the Gospels again. Jesus did not come with a church message. He came with the kingdom message from the first day of his ministry till the last day, just before he ascended. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, that he was with the disciples for 40 days talking to them about the kingdom. Why Jesus preached about the kingdom more than any other subject? He only mentioned about the church for two times in Matthew 16, 18, and Matthew 18, I think verse 11, somewhere there. That's the two places Jesus mentioned about the church. Every other time he preached or shared a parable, he will say the kingdom of heaven is like this, or the kingdom of God is like this. Kingdom was God's or Jesus's message. Why did he come with the kingdom message? Because we lost the kingdom. When Adam fell, when he lost the garden, mankind lost the kingdom of God. And ever since, we have been searching for this lost country. That's why people always move around, changing locations, moving from one house to another, or moving from one relationship to another, because they are longing for something in their spirit man, which is the kingdom of God. That's where Jesus said, seek first not a church, but a kingdom. What is the difference between a kingdom and the church? Because most of the time, Christians think church is the kingdom, or kingdom is the church. No, that's not the way Jesus taught. He preached about the kingdom day and night. Then towards the end of his ministry, he wanted to make sure his disciples understood what a kingdom is before he introduced the church to them. Because church is here to administer, or the governing body of God's kingdom. That is the church, or the ecclesia. In Greek, means a political body of believers or citizens that administer the affairs of a government or a king or a kingdom. That's what church is, the governing body. But we have been hijacked by the religious spirit. Now we are known as a Christian religion. Jesus did not come to found a religion. Jesus is not the founder of a religion called Christianity. Jesus is eternally a king. He was born king. When the wise men came from the east to see the king that was born in Jerusalem, That's what they're looking for in Bethlehem. He was a king. He died as a king, and he's coming back as a king. Jesus is the King of Kings, and he has a kingdom, and he wants to see it established on the earth. That's when he told us to pray, or when he taught his disciples to pray, let your kingdom come, and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like I shared before, God created this planet to be an extension of God's kingdom. Same will and plan in heaven, same culture, same peace that is there, same health that is in heaven. He wants to see it established on the earth. He never expected life on earth to be any different than life in heaven. But that is not the vision we received. We received this doom, gloom, and despair. Nothing is going to get better, brother. This is end time. Everything is going to be burnt. Then why God put us here? Why are we here? Why do we go to work? Why do we try to survive? Let's stay home until Jesus come back, or die and go to heaven tomorrow. What is the purpose of life? You know, why do we have to suffer and endure all these things? No, God, if you are saved, you are called to be in the kingdom, to do a kingdom assignment for him. So very few step into that, like we shared before, because of fear. People are afraid. Oh my goodness, how am I going to pay my bills? Because we have been hijacked by this Babylonian system that has been keeping God's people in slavery for so many years. And it takes an enormous amount of faith and courage to get out of that slavery of survival. And we think, you know, we live in the most free society. If you are not free to fulfill what God has called you to do, you are not free. That is the true freedom. When a person can say, I'm free to do what God created me to do, what God called me to do, what God sent me to this planet Earth to do, that is the real freedom. So I want to declare that freedom to our listeners today. Every fear, every spirit of bondage that is keeping them and their destiny under captivity, I speak deliverance to them in Jesus Christ's holy name. Mm-hmm. Because that's what this world is missing. God, the world is missing the light that God put us here. And we have been hiding in a four wall called a church, and we are trying to escape when this world is burning actually. So I want our listeners to receive a vision, a new, fresh vision from God for their life and for their community and this country of United States, because this country need the believers, God's people, to rise up more than ever in the history of this country. Mm-hmm. And we can see that in the news, we can see it around us, but all we are doing is just keep doing the same old thing. Yeah. Yeah. People are waiting to go back to normal. There's nothing normal that is going to come again. Whatever we thought normal, it is over because of this pandemic and whatever is happening. We are not going to go back to the old normal that we knew. Something new is happening. It's not the new, but it's the same, the old thing that God had planned for us and for planet Earth. It is time for us to come into alignment with God's vision and purpose. And that's my call to our listeners today.
Amen. It reminds me of that verse where all of creation yearns and awaits for the sons of God.
Manifestation of the sons of God, yes.
Yes, and if I can only imagine if everybody that was in leadership position, stay at Monsanto in our agricultural world, or at the CDC and the World Health Organization, and all these people making decisions for us right now, if all these folks had God's original intent in mind, and if they were ruling and making decisions based off of God's original blueprint and his original intent, what an amazing family we'd have on this earth. And amazing. Amen. I mean, we wouldn't have all this climate change issue and all the racial strife and all the different divisions that we have throughout if we just had people lined up with that original intent in every decision that they make, not making decision based out of fear, lack of provision, all these other people-pleasing mentality and all this stuff. So I know we could go on and on, but we're coming up against the hour. And I was just, go ahead, Abraham.
I know you mentioned about the website, but I have a free gift for all of our listeners. If they go to the website, www.thekingdomnetwork.org, they can download a book for absolutely free gift from us today. Because it's on our website, on the homepage, they had to put their email and their name, and that book will be sent to their email, Rediscovering the Lost Kingdom. That is the first volume on the Kingdom series. God has given me 12 volumes of books that has been published on the Kingdom of God and how to disciple a nation through healthcare, through education, through business, through government, because the Kingdom of God is much bigger than the church that we know today or whatever religious experience we have today, because Kingdom of God rules the entire universe. Then we have the Kingdom School. People can take, anybody from anywhere can attend this Kingdom School and take a free course, Dr. Ben. We have three courses that we are offering that to discover people's purpose. One is discovering purpose, calling, and gifts. The first one is discovering the lost kingdom. Second one is discovering purpose, calling, and gifts. Then the third one is seeing, entering, and manifesting the kingdom. So those courses are offered absolutely free.
Wow, that's amazing.
So the new semester is starting on August 17th. So when they go to the website, they can sign up there for free. And some of your staff, thank you for sending them to attend or to take those courses. They are so blessed, and I'm blessed to have them in the class.
And they told me, they heard I was interviewing you today, and they said to tell you hello. They're enjoying the class immensely, and I'm planning to sign up in August too.
And yeah,
let me just say thank you for making those available and for making them free. I mean, so many preachers out there, I know you're way more than just a preacher, but I'm just saying in the world, so many preachers are just selling so many things only and not just sharing when they're supposed to just share. And I can vouch for the books on the website. I mean, I haven't read them all, but I'm trying to. from the Ecclesia book to the Kingdom Family book is what I'm reading right now to try to steward our six kids and our family. They're all awesome and amazing. So thank you for writing all those. And in closing, just a personal on my side, I want to encourage the listeners that all this kind of opening of my heart, my mind to the kingdom started in 2007 when my wife and I had trouble getting pregnant with our second child. Our first child, we had no problem. We got off birth control the first month we got pregnant, and then it was time for our second child, we thought. And we got off birth control and nothing happened. And the next month, nothing. And the third month, nothing. And it went a whole 12 months and we couldn't get pregnant. So officially we're infertile. So we went to the infertility doctor, spent another 12 months and a whole lot of money on infertility treatments and still didn't get pregnant. And then I came across that verse in Matthew, which of course I'd read many times in church growing up, but seek ye first the kingdom. And it just jumped off the page at me. And I grabbed my wife and I said, look at this. And what does this mean? What's the kingdom? And I don't even know what that is, but we need to seek it. And I know I've read this verse before, but and there's something different. It's hitting me today. And we meditate and prayed on that verse and asked God to show us. And that was the beginning, I would say, looking back, because the first thing God took me to was Genesis. But what he showed me was I had doubt and unbelief in my heart about the Bible and definitely about Genesis from a scientific standpoint. So he spent the next 2 to 3 years introducing me to all kinds of scientists. And a lot of them work for Creation Ministries International, creation.com is that website. And they're scientists, PhD level scientists, that just really opened my eyes and encouraged me from a doubt and unbelief standpoint that you could absolutely believe in the scientific validity of Genesis and every story in that book. So I want to encourage people, if they have those thoughts or doubts and unbelief, which our system of education will definitely plant that seed of doubt in you from an evolution standpoint and all that, which is a different topic. But just a word of encouragement, if you seek and knock, you will find. I'm confident God will meet you and he will open these doors and open your mind and set you up on this course to discovering who you really are. So, and I highly encourage everybody to go to thekingdomnetwork.org and check out all of Abraham's resources there. They're numerous and they're very, very beneficial. So, Abraham, thank you again for being with us today. Very enlightening, very helpful, beneficial. I know a lot of people are, I know my patients, but just listeners in general will be
benefited. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Ben.
Okay, everybody, that was Abraham John with thekingdomnetwork.org. This is Ben Edwards. You're the Cure. We'll be back next week with another great show. Thanks for being with us today.